About that a little bit tonight. Luke chapter number 19. We'll take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter number 19 tonight. First 10 verses of Luke 19 are very familiar to us tonight. It's the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus Christ comes through Jericho and Zacchaeus wants to see him. We know the story there. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. You could tell the whole story right there, couldn't you? And as the Savior passed that way, there you go. Y'all join in and help me. We know the first 10 verses, and it concludes in verse number 10. Jesus Christ tells his disciples the reason why he came. Verse number 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why he came, and he tells his disciples that. And then in the very next verse, verse number 11, this will be our text tonight, verse 11 down through verse 27. The Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." You see, he told them exactly why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, but they still didn't understand. They still thought, hey, Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. They were looking for the Messiah, right? They were looking for a king. They were looking for the one who was going to set up his kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. He is going to set up his kingdom, but they were looking for it to happen right at that moment. They were looking for it to happen then. But they didn't understand. He says in verse number 10, he said, "Look, the reason I came was to seek and to save that which was lost." But in verse number 11, he gives them a parable. The last part of verse 11 says, "Because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." And so he's going to give them this parable here in Luke chapter number 19 to try to explain to them even further, look, it's not time yet. Yes, I'm king, but I'm not here to set up the kingdom. I'm here to save the sinner. And I'm here to send you to witness to the sinner. Would you look at verse number 12? "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Now, by the way, don't miss the parable here. This parable is different than the parable of the talents. The parable of the 10 pounds, he brings the 10 servants in and he gives each of them the exact same. He gives each of them a pound. He gives them exactly the same thing, okay? They all have exactly what they need to do the job that he has left them to do. It has nothing to do with talent, has nothing to do with gifts. He's left them each a pound. And the Bible says the first, in verse number 16, "Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little." By the way, you know what? That's what God asks of us, is faithfulness. You know, we talk about a lot of different subject matters and we use a lot of different words. But ultimately, do you know what God asks of His children? He asks us to be faithful. In our service, in every part of our lives, He asks us to be faithful. And He says, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, He's speaking. Actually, let me just read it, and then we'll come back. I keep stopping. I don't want to do that. Verse 18. "And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound. which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now remember, he had 10 servants, 10 pounds. He gave each of them 1 pound, but we only hear from 3 of the servants. We don't hear from the other 7, but we hear from 3 of them. One of the servants gained 10 pounds. One of the servants gained 5 pounds. And then we come to this third servant in verse number 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, by the way, verse 27 is a reference back to the people that are spoken about in verse 14, okay? He said, but those mine enemies, those in verse number 14, those citizens, which said, we will not have this man to reign over us. He's not speaking of the 10 servants here. He's speaking of his enemies in verse number 14. He said, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. And I want to bring you a message tonight. I want to give you 5 words out of this passage, out of these 17 verses. And I want to bring you a message tonight entitled, Daylight is Burning. Any of you, your mom or dad ever say that to you? Any of your dads, daylight's burning? How many of y'all have said that to your children? Daylight is burning. By the way, what does that mean? Yeah, stop wasting time. It's time to get busy. Stop wasting. Look, daylight is burning. We don't have a whole lot of time left. It's time to get busy. I submit to us tonight that daylight is burning. And it's time to get busy. And so I want to encourage us here from these 17 verses tonight. I'll give you 5 words. They all begin with the letter I. They'll be easy to take notes tonight. And I hope it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. Father, we love you tonight. We're grateful for the day that you've given us. Thankful for the beautiful weather today. Thankful for the wonderful service you gave us this morning with our mothers. And Father, we thank you again for them. And Father, I pray that you would teach and help us tonight. Father, I pray that you would encourage us as Christians, as believers, as your servants tonight. Father, I pray that you would simply remind us tonight that daylight is burning. Lord, we don't know when you're coming back. We don't know the exact time. But Father, we do know that your coming is sooner today than it was yesterday, than it was a week ago, than it was a year ago, than it was 1,000 years ago. And Father, daylight is burning. We need to be busy. And I pray that you'd remind us of that tonight. And I pray that we, as your children, as your servants, you've given each of us a pound. And Father, help us to gain. Father, help us not to lay it up in a napkin and think that we're doing something wonderful for you. But Father, help us to take that pound and gain another pound and gain another pound and gain 10 pounds, gain 20 pounds, how much ever you would allow us, Father. Help us to be busy about your work. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, please help and teach us. Be with those that are away from us tonight. I pray that you'd watch over them in a special way. Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you the first word I want us to see tonight, and that is the word interest. Interest. And I'm not speaking about what we gain when we put money in the bank. We see that in the passage, the word usury. It's almost the same word that we think of with the word interest. That's not what I'm speaking of with this first word. The word interest, when I say that, I am speaking of the interest of the nobleman. The nobleman had interest in this world. He had something that he wanted his servants to do, and he left them to do. The Bible says a certain nobleman in verse number 12 went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Now here's the idea, here's the picture. Jesus Christ is letting His servants know, letting His disciples know, look, I'm not setting up My kingdom now. I'm going back to heaven. My kingdom is not, I do not receive My kingdom from anyone here on this earth. I receive My kingdom from the Father. He said, I'm going back to heaven, but I'm coming back. And I'm going to reign. And we know that Christ is going to come back. And He's going to reign for 1,000 years. We know the millennial reign. And He's going to come back. And so that's what's being referenced here. He said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. So he said, look, while I'm gone, I am making you stewards of My interest, of what I desire for you to accomplish while I am gone. And so he calls his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. I personally believe when he's speaking about the pound there, I believe he's speaking about the gospel. I believe he's speaking about the Word of God, and specifically about the gospel of Jesus Christ, of His own gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He said, look, I'm leaving you 10 pounds, one for each one of you. You all have exactly the same thing, no different. You have everything you need to accomplish what I'm leaving you here to do. Verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So first of all, we see the interest. By the way, you don't have to turn there, but let me read, and we're going to get to this in the next couple weeks. We've been going through 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, we have another one of the as comparisons that we have been looking at in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's what God has left us here as. We are stewards, we are managers, we are keepers, if you will. Verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So number one, we see the interest. God has an interest in leaving us here to work, and that interest is to gain more and gain more. That interest is to see more people saved and more people saved and more people grow and more people discipled. God has an interest in this earth, if you will, in this church age, and He's left us here to accomplish a task. So number one, the interest. Number two, the instruction. Can someone tell me tonight, what is the instruction that the nobleman leaves his servants? Occupy. Occupy how long? Till I come. And so we see the interest, but secondly, we see the instruction. In verse number 13, he says, occupy till I come. Now, that word occupy doesn't mean that we just sit and inhabit and that we just dwell. That's not what the word occupy means. The word occupy means business. It means trade. It means to be business. But more specifically, he is speaking of the idea of a trade, of a banking transaction, if you will, because we see in a verse, I think it's verse number 16, but we see in another verse, actually, let's just look at it. I want to get it right. I think it's verse 16. It's in verse 15. In verse 15, he says, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know, notice this, how much every man had gained by what? By trading. It's the idea of a transaction. It's the idea of busyness. It's the idea of business. He says, occupy till I come. He didn't say, hold the fort. He didn't say, hold the fort. He didn't say, just sit down and hunker down and just stay in the fort until I get back. No, he said, occupy. By the way, I was reading this week in the book of Jeremiah, and in the book of Jeremiah, God tells Jeremiah to buy property. He tells him to buy a piece of land. You know why he told him to buy a piece of land? Look, they're going into captivity. They're going into bondage to the Babylonians. And he tells Jeremiah to buy a piece of land there in Jerusalem, in Israel. And he tells him specifically, the reason you should buy this is because you're coming back. 70 years or after 70 years, the captivity is going to be over. You're going to come back. It's not time to sit and cower. It's not time to sit and just hold on until Jesus comes back. It's time to occupy. It's time to do business. It's time to trade. It's time to be busy about God's business, about telling people about Jesus Christ, about telling our children how to live this life. The instruction to His servants was, occupy. Be busy. Be busy. Be transacting business. Don't just sit back. And I'll tell you what, we have become very comfortable in our 21st century American Christianity. And we're comfortable. And I don't disparage the comforts that God has given us. I don't disparage the blessings that God has given us as Americans. I'm not ashamed of that whatsoever. But I do believe that we have taken that for granted, and we have allowed that to make us complacent. We have allowed that to make us too comfortable sometimes. And we sit back and we're not occupying. We're not being busy. We're not transacting in God's business. And He tells these 10 servants in verse number 13, and the Bible says, delivered them. He gave them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Number one tonight, we see the interest. God has an interest in this world and in what is going on in this world. And His interest is that people will be saved, baptized, and discipled, and useful servants for Him. Number two, we see the instruction. He says, occupy till I come. Busy. And by the way, not just busy to be busy, but busy with a purpose. Look, when my daddy would leave, when we would, especially during the summertime, we would go to the barn in the morning and milk the cows, and after we cleaned the barn up, we went back to the house and we ate breakfast. My dad, most of the time, would go to the field, and he would either plant or he would cultivate or he would do something in the field. And while he was gone to the field, during that day, especially if it was summer and we were home for summer break, if it was summer, he would give us a list of projects that needed to be done. And so from about 8 o'clock in the morning until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when we went back to the barn to milk the cows again, from 8 to 3, he had given us a list of things to do, and we were to be busy about getting that done. Because listen, when he came back, he would know whether we had been busy or not. And when he would come back about dusk, he would know. All he would have to do was look out in that holding pen, because at about dusk in the evening, we should be very close to finishing milking all those cows. And if he came home at about dusk out of the field and came in on that tractor and he looked out in the holding pen and that holding pen was still full of cows, you know what he knew? Those boys have been loafing today. Those boys haven't been doing what they're supposed to be. They should be already done, getting ready to clean up and getting ready to go to the house. They've been loafing today. You know what? Daylight's burning. And Jesus Christ told His servants, He said, occupy till I come. Be busy. Look, we only have a certain amount of time. And look, I understand God tells us, and God gives us the principle of having rest and having a day off. And I agree with that. But I think we take way too much rest sometimes. I think we take way too much time off sometimes. God says be busy. The instruction, the interest. Let me give you number three, the investment. The Bible only tells us about three of these 10 servants, but it tells us specifically that two of these 10 took that pound and they did what with it? They invested it. They invested it. We don't know exactly how they invested it. We don't know exactly. Maybe they took that pound and they went and bought some wood and they built something. Made some money off of it. Took the money that they profited and went and bought some more wood and built something else. And they kept making money. Now this isn't about money here. This is about souls. This is about investing in eternity. This is about investing in God's work. That's what he's speaking about here. But just to give us an illustration, maybe that's what he did. He went and bought some wood and built something and sold it, made a profit and took that profit, bought some more wood and built something else and made a bigger profit. And before you know it, he has multiplied and increased till he has 10 pounds, tenfold increase. He invested. He took the pound. What is the pound? Again, I believe it's the gospel. I believe it's the word. And they took that pound and they invested it, and they invested it, and it multiplied, and it compounded, and it compounded, and it compounded until he had 10 pounds. the investment. You'll never go wrong investing the Word of God into somebody else's life. Whether it's giving them the gospel to be saved, or whether it's mama and daddy, you taking the Word of God in the evening and sitting down and taking some time when you don't feel like it and when you feel like going to bed, but taking some extra time and sitting down with those kids and going through the Word of God and investing your time and investing the Word of God into those children. And that is going to compound and compound. Somewhere down the road, those children are going to take it and they're going to invest it in their children, which are your grandchildren, and on down the road and on down the road. And before you know it, you're going to have 10 generations of a spiritual heritage because we invested. A lot of us are going to, I say us, I'm not talking about me whatsoever, but a lot of individuals are good at investing money and investing for retirement and investing for the future. But how good are we at investing in that which is eternal? That's what he's speaking of tonight. In verse number 16, the Bible says, "Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained what? 10 pounds. Verse number 18, the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. Wasn't as much as the first, but he had still gained. By the way, verse number 19, and he said likewise to him. Okay, what did he say to the first? The first one, he said, well. He said, you have been faithful in little. I'm going to make you overseer, I'm going to let you reign over 10 or have authority over 10 cities. The Bible says that he said the same to the one that gained 5 pounds. So he said, well, and he said, faithful. The investment. God has given us the instruction and he's given us the pound, the Word of God, the gospel. And he tells us, go invest it. Go take the gospel and give it to someone else. Go take the gospel and give it to someone else. Go take the word and invest it in the lives of children. Go take the word and invest it in the lives of your family. Go take the word and invest it in the lives of your coworkers. The investment. What did the third man do? The Bible says the third man came and he opened up a napkin. And he had that pound, well, probably a piece of silver or something, but he had that pound wrapped up nice and neat in a napkin. And he said, Lord, I still have it. He said, I knew you were an austere man. I didn't want to lose it. Here's the pound. What did Christ say about that man? He called him wicked. No, that's not what I wanted you to do. Listen, don't misunderstand me tonight, but many Christians tonight, in churches like ours, many Christians tonight, they have their pound wrapped up nice and neat in their napkin. And they're living right, and they're doing right, and in their eyes, they're good Christians. They're not doing wrong. They're living righteously. But they're not doing anything with the pound that God has given them. It's wrapped up nice and neat. They know the gospel. They know what it has done for them. They know the Word of God and they know how it has helped them in their life and the life of their family. They know what the Word has done and what the gospel has done. But they have it wrapped up nice and neat. And they're not sharing it. They're not investing it with anyone else. Moms and dads tonight, God help us to invest the Word of God into our families. Hey, Sunday school teachers tonight, God help us to invest the Word of God into our Sunday school classes. Master Club teachers, listen, Wednesday night is not just a playtime and a fun time, and our teachers know that. It's a time, an hour and a half. I know we don't spend the whole hour and a half in the Word of God, but it's a time to take the Word of God and to invest it in those children that really, listen, that's the only time they get it during the week. That's the only hour and a half or hour or 45 minutes that they hear anything about the Word of God. And we must invest. Number one, we see the word interest. Number two, we see the word instruction. Occupy till I come. Thirdly, the investment. The investment. They invested. Dear friend, tonight I don't think many of us would be very different in how we view the condition in our nation right now. It bothers me, the things that are going on, the direction that's going on. I am thankful for a semblance. I don't know how it's going to turn out. Who knows? I'm thankful for a semblance of some decency and righteousness with what we've heard out of the Supreme Court this week. God help that that might come to pass. Well, that'd be a wonderful thing. But listen, dear friend, tonight, the reason we can get angry about that, we can get upset, but I firmly believe tonight that the reason we are, and we've said this many, many times, the reason we are where we are is because generations before us, and for the past several decades, we haven't been investing this into the life of our nation. We haven't been going into our communities the way that we should. We haven't been going into the lives of our families the way that we should with the Word of God and teaching the Word of God and showing them what the Bible says. And now we're at a point where these ridiculous things are happening in our nation, and we're throwing up our hands and saying, how in the world can that happen? What's happening? Because people don't know the Word of God. It's happening because there's no discernment. There's no righteousness pushing back against the wickedness and the debauchery and the things that are going on. You've seen the stories just like I have over the past few weeks or past several months, and things that are going on in schools just for appropriateness, I won't even mention it, but you've seen it. Things going on in our schools, in our public schools, that are just absolutely wicked. How did we get here? Because too many Christians have taken their pound and they've wrapped it nice and neat, and it's in a pretty package. It's just sitting on a shelf somewhere. And we don't share it with our families, and we don't share it with our coworkers, and we don't share it with neighbors, and we don't share it with the people that we meet. People need to be saved, and then after they're saved, they need to grow and be discipled. They need to move from milk to meat. And they need to have some discernment about what the Word of God says. They need to have some discernment about how should I live this life? How should I live the way society tells me to live today, societal norms? No. We live according to the Word of God. The investment. Dear friend, tonight you will never go wrong investing the Word of God into the life of someone else, whoever that someone else is. And you ought to begin right in your family. It ought to begin at home. I know I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd, and I'm looking around, and I know who I'm speaking to tonight, but let me say this. The Sunday school teacher on Sunday morning is going to be at a disadvantage of trying to help your child if you have allowed your child to be pumped and filled with the things of this world 8 hours a day during the week. Sitting in front of a TV or sitting in front of a computer screen and being pumped and filled, or sitting with earbuds in their ears listening to God knows what, the Sunday school teacher is going to be at a tremendous disadvantage when he or she has 45 minutes to try to place the Word of God into the life of a young person that has the world pumped into them for hour after hour after hour after hour during the week. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying you have to do something at home. We have to do stuff at home. We can't expect to bring a kid to Wednesday night master club and to Sunday school Sunday morning and to Sunday night and for everything to be fixed if during the week we've allowed the world to have our children for 160-something hours. And then the church and the Word of God gets them for a couple of hours. You see what I'm saying? The investment. You invest money, it takes study, it takes time, you figure out, okay, what's the best investment, what's the best mutual fund, where's my best return, right? It's the same thing with eternal matters. It's hard, and it takes study, and it's hard and it takes time and it takes effort, but the return is worth the investment. I mentioned it this morning, but there may be some young people in here tonight. Listen, if the Lord's working in your heart about ministry and about serving Him with your life, the return is well worth the investment. The return is well worth the investment. Number one tonight, the interest. Number two, the instruction. Number three, the investment. Number four, we've already mentioned it, the increase. Number four, the increase. Verse number 16 again, the Bible says, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Let me back up just. Do we get what we're saying at number three? I think it's pretty simple, investment. We've got to invest. We've got to give time and energy and effort and invest the Word of God and invest the Word of God. It starts with us. It starts in our own lives. And then we take it and we invest it in others. We invest it in others. We give it to others. We preach it. We give truth. We give truth. We give truth. We give truth. The investment. And number four, the increase. Verse 16, the Bible says, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You see, he gained 10 pounds, but then what did God tell him? You're going to have authority over 10 cities. In my kingdom, this is what I believe this is referencing. In the millennial reign, in God's kingdom, Christ is saying you're going to have authority over 10 cities. And then he comes to the second one. The second one comes and he says, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds, verse 18. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. The investment. Number four, the increase. Not only did Christ speak to them and reference them as well and faithful, but he says, you're going to have authority over 10 cities. You're going to have authority over 5 cities. See, here's the truth tonight. When we invest the Word of God, there's always increase. There's always increase. It may not necessarily every time be a soul saved, but maybe it's just someone who's already saved being encouraged and growing and strengthened. But there's always increase in the investment. There's always increase in the investment. You can never give the Word of God too much. You can never invest the Word of God too much because it is truth. I read a verse. I don't know if I can remember the exact verse. I can't remember the exact verse, but I read a verse to the young adults this morning in Sunday school. And it says that the lips of truth, or the individual who speaks truth, it says the lips of truth, it's in the book of Proverbs, it says the lips of truth shall be established forever. It says lying lips, actually I'm getting two verses mixed up. It's not the one where it says it's an abomination. Do you have the verse? Okay, let me read it for you. You don't have to turn there. Proverbs 12:19. Proverbs 12:19. The Bible says, the lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. The lip of truth shall be established forever. Truth always wins, every single time. You say, well, Pastor, I'm telling the truth and somebody's lying about me and I'm not winning right now. Okay, that's just momentary, because the Bible says in verse number 19, a lying tongue is but for a moment. That means truth is going to win, because truth is established forever. And so you can never go wrong investing the truth of God's Word into somebody's life. Never. Number one, the interest. Number two, the instruction. Number three, the investment. Number four, the increase. Then let me give you the fifth word. Number five, the indictment. The indictment. Look at verse number 20 in Luke 19. Daylight is burning. God has an interest in what goes on in this church age. God has given His servants an instruction, and that instruction is, occupy till I come. We are to invest. We are to take that pound and we are to invest it. We see the increase. One individual increased 10. One individual increased 5. And then Because of that, they were given 10 cities and 5 cities to have authority over. But then notice the last individual. We've referenced him. Verse number 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here's thy pound. See, he didn't lose it. Still had it. He said, here's thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth. You see what he's saying? He's saying, your own words have indicted you. Your own words have witnessed against you. He says, out of thine own mouth, verse 22, will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Now wait, he's still a servant. He said, you're a wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I lay not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? He said, look, the least you could have just put it in the bank and gotten a half percentage of interest or something. I don't even think it's that much right now, is it? It's bad. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound. You know what the Lord is saying there? He said, if you're not going to use it, let's give it to somebody who will. Now, I don't believe in my heart here this is speaking about salvation. I don't believe this individual is losing his salvation. He's still a servant. But there's an indictment here in verses 20 through 27. There's an indictment against the slothful servant, and there's an indictment against the sinner. We'll see in verse 27 again. But there's an indictment against the slothful servant. He said, look, the pound that he has, take it and give it to somebody who's going to do something with it. He's just keeping it in a napkin. He's doing nothing with it. And they said in verse 25, they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. It's almost the idea, Lord, you're going to give him another one? He already has 10. And the Lord says, yeah. We're going to give to the one who's actually going to do something with it. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. There's an indictment against the slothful servant, against the servant who takes the pound and who does absolutely nothing with it. He says, you're not going to... You know what these verses are akin to? It's akin to 1 Corinthians 3. When we as Christians come before the judgment seat of Christ, come before that bema seat, and the Bible says we're saved, yet so as by fire. We're saved, but we lay that wood, hay, and stubble there on the altar, and the fire comes, and it's licked up, and there's nothing left. We're saved, yet so as by fire. We don't have anything to give to Christ. We don't have any rewards to throw at His feet. We don't have any rewards to offer. The indictment. I don't, and I know you don't either, I don't want to stand at the bema seat one day. And I don't want everything that's laid down at the bema seat to be licked up by fire and nothing left. Wood, hay, and stubble. I want there to be some gold and silver and precious stones. You know how that happens? When we invest. When we invest. When we don't leave our pound wrapped up nice and neat in a napkin, just gathering dust on the shelf. No, it's when we take it. It's when we take the Word of God. And we invest it. You ever see cars, and I don't see this as much as when I was little, but I used to see cars with Bibles in the we don't even really have these much anymore, but in the back seat, the little section right above the trunk. People would have their Bibles thrown back there, just sitting there. They pick them up on Sunday, and then when they get in the car on Sunday, they throw them back there, and they'll pick them up again next Sunday. That's what a lot of people treat the Word of God. I'll pick it up on Sunday and then I'll put it down. I'll pick it back up next Sunday. Gold, silver, precious stones. wood, hay, and stubble. Then notice verse number 27. The indictment is not just for the slothful servant, but it's also for the sinner. In verse number 14, the Bible says, but his citizens. I personally believe that's speaking of the Jews. But his citizens hated him. Makes sense that that would be speaking about the Jews, wouldn't it? The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. We will not have this man reign over us. The gentleman, Jonathan, was showing me this week a guy who's, probably if I said his name, many of you would know him, but he's a Jew, but he doesn't believe in Christ. And he says that Christ was just a rabble-rouser who lost his life, or how did he say it? Oh, I forget exactly how he said it. Lost his life for his troubles. Just a rabble-rouser, not even a prophet, just a rabble-rouser. Tried to lead a rebellion against the Roman Empire, just a rabble-rouser who lost his life for his troubles. That's what verse 14 is speaking of. Individuals who Jesus Christ has come and Christ has come to save, and they said, we don't want this man. We don't want him to reign over us. We don't want him to have anything to do with us. Verse 27, but those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Number one, the interest. Number two, the instruction. Occupy. 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 Number three, the investment. Investment takes time, energy. It takes research. Investment. It's hard. It's hard work. But number four is well worth it, the increase. Occupy till I come. We don't know when the Lord's coming back, but we need to occupy, don't we? We need to be bit. Daylight is burning. Daylight is burning. The Bible says there will come a time. There won't be any time left for us to work. The night will be gone. The night is far spent. There's going to come a day when the night will be gone. We can't work anymore. Daylight is burning. The investment, the increase, the indictment. I definitely don't want to be, and by the way, I'm not going to be under the indictment of the sinner, but I definitely don't want to be under the indictment of the slothful servant. I don't want to be a servant who God has given the pound. He's given us the gospel. He's given us the word. And boy, as Americans, we have the word of God so readily available to us. God has given us a pound. And when He comes back, I don't want 1 pound to be all that I have to give back. Lord, I kept it. Kept it nice and neat for You. Would You add anything to it? You bringing anybody with You? Any souls? What about your family? That, as we said a while ago, that's the first place we ought to start. What better place to start than right in the family? What about your family? Are they coming with You? What about your neighbors? What about the people you work for? What about the people that you have acquaintance and you see almost on a weekly basis? What about them? The investment, the increase, the indictment. Daylight is burning. And I submit to us tonight, we're just too busy with things that have absolutely no eternal value. And look, you folks know, my family know, I enjoy rest and I enjoy time off with my family and I enjoy having fun with my family, but I'm going to tell you, daylight is burning. And time is short. And we must occupy. That doesn't mean we hold the fort. That means we charge. And we must occupy till He comes. He might come in our generation. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I hope He does. I hope I don't have to go the way of death. I hope He comes. He might come in our generation, he may not, but until he takes me or until he comes, I need to be occupied. And I need to be busy. Hey, when my daddy came home at dusk, and there's still a holding pen full of cows. Boy, he would come through that door of the milk barn, and it would not be a happy occasion. What are you boys doing? What are you boys? You know what he would say? Probably what your daddy said to some of you. What have you boys been doing all day? See, he knew. I remember one time I'm done. But I'm going to finish on a light note so we can go home light, okay? I remember one night, my brother and I, and this was during the summer, and we were at the barn, and we had just a flat barn when we were little, and we'd bring 10 cows in to milk 5 at a time, and we'd have other 5 waiting to be milked. My brother and I started throwing dirt clods at each other. And my brother, when I was little, of course, he was bigger than me. He's not bigger than me now, but he was bigger than me then. And boy, he would just pelt me with dirt clods, just make me so mad. And so he was down getting ready to take the milkers off of one cow and put it on another. And I had a dirt clod. It's like, I got him. And so I threw it at him. I missed him. But I hit the cow. And she kicked him. There was about 3, or about, probably about 4 feet between where the cow stood and the back wall. And she kicked him up against the wall. He never knew that until really just several years ago. But we started throwing dirt clods at each other. It took us 2 hours longer to milk that night than it should have. Boy, what a picture right there. I didn't even mean to get that picture in there, but what a picture. How many times do churches start throwing dirt clods at each other and we waste a whole lot of time? Oh, boy, that was good. Thank you, Lord. We do, don't we? We waste a whole lot of time, don't we? And daylight is burning. And boy, it was late that night. It was probably about 8:30 before we got done. And my daddy, can you think about our Heavenly Father? And we come back, or He comes back, He returns for His kingdom. And the holding pen's still full of cows. Somebody's saying, I don't even know what that means. Those are cows still waiting to be milked. That means we're way far behind. Daylight is burning. God help us to invest. Amen? God help us tonight. Father, we love you. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be busy. You've given each of us a pound. You gave all of your servants a pound. You gave all of them exactly what they needed. Now, I understand, Lord, you do give us different abilities and talents and gifts. I know that, Lord. But you've given all of us the gospel. You've given us your word. And Lord, we need to be investing. We need to occupy. We need to be transacting in your business. And Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us to gain. One gain 10, one gain 5, one gain none. We don't know about the other 7, but Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us tonight to be busy. Whether that's gaining a soul through salvation, whether that's gaining the hearts of our children because we've taught them the Word of God and we have exampled the Word of God to them. Lord, so many applications to that truth tonight, but Father, help us to gain. Father, I'm praying in the days, weeks, months, and years to come. Father, I'm praying that you'll send some young men and some young ladies out of this church to be preachers, to be missionaries and pastors' wives and missionary wives. Father, that's going to be a gain for our whole church. Lord, I pray for that tonight. I pray that we would be so busy investing the Word of God into their lives. I pray that we'd be so busy exampling the wonderful Christian life that we would have a group of young people who would love nothing more than to serve you with the entirety of their lives, who would love nothing better than just to give their lives for you. Help us tonight, Lord. I don't know what decisions need to be made. I do pray if there's one here tonight without Christ, or maybe even several, Lord, I pray that they'd be saved tonight. Father, for us as believers, I pray that you'd help us. Help us simply to have been reminded tonight that daylight is burning. Thank you, Lord. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Pam's going to play. If you need to come tonight, come. If you're here tonight without Christ, I'd beg you to come. Believer, if the Holy Spirit's worked in your heart tonight, I pray that you'd bow the knee. Pray that you just bow the knee and say, Lord, help me to be busy. Help me to not just to be busy, but Lord, help me to occupy till you come. Help me to be busy transacting your business. Not busy in matters that have no eternal value. Maybe that would be your prayer tonight. I don't know. I do know one thing. He told his servants to occupy till he came. And that's what we're supposed to do tonight. If we will occupy, he will give the increase. If we don't occupy, then we're going to reap the indictment.